Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the worlds of politics and law you watch me cover on television every day into the world of theater and today comedy and music and maybe some politics because it doesn't ever really go away. But joining me is the incredible talent. I've been a fan of hers for so very long. You know her from Orange is the New Black. I'll tell you when I first fell in love with you. But Leah Delaria, thank you for joining me because you're coming to Chicago.
Thank you, Paul. Is your last name Lipstick? Did I hear that incorrectly?
You Lipsinka.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would just love it if your last name was Lipstick. It would make me so happy.
If it makes you happy, I'll change it. Listen, it can go away. It's all right. It's really good. You know, I know everybody. You do interviews and everybody goes right to Orange is the New Black, you know, as a starting point for you. And I get that. And I loved it. And I watched the show too. But do you know when I fell in love with you? It's your jazz career, and it's The Ballad of Sweeney Todd, which I think is 2002. I still listen to that just even at night as I'm kind of getting ready for bed and stuff. I love that song among your other jazz career.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Look, you're a television star, you're a movie star. If I read your credentials, we're never going to get to why you're coming to Chicago. comedian, all these things. How do you identify?
Oh, as a dyke.
Well, okay. I guess that covers all bases.
That's literally how I identify. When, yeah, I mean, I do a lot of things. If you look like me and you talk like me and you ran out of to give when Sonny was with Cher, you better be able to do a lot of things really well if you want to make a living in this industry. And that's basically what I've been doing my whole life.
Well, and you're coming to Chicago just after Pride Month. It'd be kind of great if you were here right during Pride Month, but so be it. You'll be here on... where did my dates go?
I think it's July 19th and 20th. Like that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I put it further down than I should have. So we'll talk about that, but here's the thing. You've never been closeted. You've always been who you are. You're making that very clear, but am I right that your family, your parents didn't quite catch on to what was going on until you were in Matlock?
No, it was before I was in Matlock.
Okay.
Because the reason I got on Matlock was when I was the first openly gay comic on television in America. So that's what kind of jettisoned me into the industry's eye line, if you know what I mean. And that's how I got the agent. That's how I went to Just Pour Rire in Montreal. And the agent put me there. And that's when Joel Thurm, who, by the way, is an incredibly well-known casting director, was head of NBC casting, worked with Fred Silverman forever, also has never been in the closet, saw me and got me my pilot deal with Fred Silverman. That's what put me on Matlock. They were going to spin me off Matlock into my own show.
Oh,
but Viacom pulled out. I freaked him out.
Well, you know, they're bringing
for Viacom.
I love it. Well, they're bringing back one of those. No, Matlock is coming back.
Yeah,
now.
With Kathy Bates.
With Kathy Bates. How fantastic. Yep. That should, let's sue.
Now,
that should be you.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay away from suing Kathy Bates. So many people think I'm her anyway.
She is great, by the way. She's an amazing actress. So
love her.
Yeah,
love her.
Without a doubt. But, you know, when you first started out then, you know, look, today it seems like somebody says, hey, I'm out, I'm gay, whatever. Nobody cares anymore. Well, some people care, but really nobody
cares. They do, trust.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I'm thinking back to Sean Hayes, who's not a close friend, but a friend of mine, whatever. And people who had to kind of hide who they were for so many years. Listen, I go back to the days of Dick Sargent, the second Darren in Bewitched, who, you know, shared with me that he had to make up marriages on his resume. What was the world like when you joined the profession?
David Hyde Pierce in 1997, it was 99 that we did Boys from Syracuse together in Los Angeles. And he had a party at his and his husband's house at the time. This was, you know, this was after Frasier. This is 1999. And he said to me, we were having a discussion about the industry being out like this. And he said to me, Leah, my life is an open book. Just don't ask me to read it to you.
Wow.
Which I loved. I laughed my head off when he said that to me. He has since then come out. Absolutely. But he was never in, if you know what I mean. There were a lot of people that were like that. I mean, one of my favorite jokes when I was a much younger comic was when Katie Lang came out. I was like, you know, what did everybody go, wow, who knew? Who'd have thought that about her? I mean, it's like the only person that didn't know was Ray Charles, was my joke. But it was like, but there, it is difficult in this industry. It's still difficult in this industry. They still hold shit against you. And they especially do if you're a that looks like me. Do you know what I mean? But well, I know I'm supposed to in this industry.
I know. I guess I'm supposed to say, yes, I know what you mean. But I just am so not judgmental about things and whatever that, I mean, to me, you're a beautiful person, whatever. So I get that people have those issues. And in fact, by the way, David Hyde Pierce, lovely. He brought me back to his, he even brought me back. He let me up into his dressing room during Hello Dolly. Mm-hmm. And I just kept saying, where's Bette's dressing room? But anyway,
Had two on the floor. She had one for her guests and one, they took away what mostly would have been the stage manager's office so that Bette could have two dressing rooms.
They didn't let me in.
But here's a little secret. I went into POTUS in the Schubert Theater. Oh, we're just going to make enemies. I went into POTUS in the Schubert Theater right after Hello Dolly was in the Schubert Theater. And the head of security said, look, because it was 7 very incredibly well-known actresses, all of our names ahead of the title, all coming with our own stalkers. We all had them. And the head of security goes, these are the doors you exit. And don't exit in any other door. Do not do that. And in the last show, I'm not going to name names, but somebody did. And then a stalker got in and was able to steal from that dressing room. And of course, I just jumped up and went, come on, it was Bette Midler. We all know it was Bette Midler. and he started laughing. And I was like, I was right.
I love it. By the way, POTUS, I wasn't even, you know, we just had that play at Steppenwolf. You've got that back in LA again with Alexandra Billings, I'm assuming a mutual friend of ours who's in it, but you were the original role of Bernadette in that show. I saw that show a few times here. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's really funny. I think Steppenwolf's version of it was a little dark. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
It's a farce and it should be treated as such. And I get it when people want to direct and do things differently, but you know, funnier, faster, louder. It's a farce. And, you know, anything else that you want to do with it, it's, you know, if Bernadette doesn't get entrance applause the second she walks on stage after the way everybody's been talking about her for like five scenes, then there's something wrong with the production. You know what I mean? It's like you're sitting on your hands waiting to see Bernadette. Right. And that part was written for me. And I was the only person that did it in all of its incarnations throughout the course of it coming to Broadway. Because that was what can I say? Brilliant playwright. Cannot wait to see what Selena's going to do with this. Is it going to be a movie? Is it going to be a television show? You know, it's going to be something. It is the most produced play in the world at the moment and has been since it was able to be licensed last year. Yeah, and everybody wants productions everywhere.
Everyone has to point out, oh, it's this administration or, you know, whatever. We know who it probably points. But, you know, the truth is, it's just a funny story. You don't need to say it's any particular president because it's not about the president.
It's a feminist perspective completely. And, I mean, that's the entire title. It's POTUS or Behind Every Dumbass is 7 Women Trying to Keep Him Alive. That's exactly the whole title, right? So, it is about what it's like to be a woman in politics and constantly have to boost a man up. I mean, one of my favorite moments in it was when they were talking to Vanessa Williams, who played the First Lady. Lily Cooper was the journalist who was interviewing her. And the First Lady lists off her accomplishments. And to which the journalist says, why aren't you president? Well, Hillary Clinton was in the audience. So when Lily Cooper said, why aren't you president? The entire audience stood up, turned to her, and just gave her a standing ovation that went on for a very long time. Yeah, wow. It was kind of impressive.
Well, did the fourth wall get broken there, or the cast didn't go there?
The cast didn't go there. The fourth wall got broken quite a bit, however, because one, it was a farce. Two, Rachel Dratch is just an American treasure. And Julie White and I, how should we put this? We're not made of stone. We're not rocks. So when somebody does something that they haven't done before and it's really funny, Julie White and Leah Valeria are going to laugh. We're going to laugh. There's nothing. I try really hard not to be that actor. And Susan Stroman, who hates it. And oh, by the way, so does Susie Nakamura, who played my girlfriend, right? Mm-hmm. Who was the press secretary. Because her and Rachel, both from Second City, and Second City people do not break. Do not break. However, then Rachel just made it a point to try to make me break all the time. She would come at me and do something she'd never done before and then give me a little wink or something like that. And then I'd lose it. I'd just lose it. So, yeah.
But you can get away with it. I mean, I hate to say it, but yeah. you are who you are. So I have to believe that whenever that happened, the audience loved it.
Oh, the audience loved it. The very famous scene where I'm supposed to, where's going to knock the president out by shoving pills up, you know, up his butt, right. Which became its own act. Julie White and Julianne Hough trying to put on the surgical gloves to do that. It became its own act in the play. It was brilliant. And Bernadette, everything they needed in the play was in Bernadette's bag. That's the way it was. You never knew when I pulled the stool out at the end, people just lost it, you know, and then the flamethrower and the gun, it just, all of this shit's in my bag. I'm supposed to pull out the pills. So all seven of us are in the bathroom. You see the president's legs sticking over this box. They've got the glove on. Where are the pills? They went, oh. And I reached in. I was like, they're not there. Maybe the props guy put them in the other side. So I go, not there. And then in my mind's eye, I saw them sitting on the props table. And it wasn't the props guy. It was me. I was supposed to put them in there. I insisted because if anybody was going to f*** up, I could only blame myself. And in my head, I saw the props. I saw the pills on the props table. Like everything stopped. And they're all staring at me. And they're trying not to laugh. And then I look at them and I went, I'll be right back. And I just ran off stage so fast. Now, all the actors started laughing. The audience is screaming with laughter. Then I come running back on. I'm standing there with the pill bottle, you know, and I look like, you know, Three Stooges. It was like that. And that, just standing ovation. The audience just loved it. They just laughed and laughed. All of us back to the audience laughing.
I have to say, I've interviewed, the previous episode is the entire cast of POTUS here from the Steppenwolf production.
Oh, fab.
And you are right that you know, this was not the conversation that we were having about that show. But it is Steppenwolf.
It's a comedy!
But you must add on Steppenwolf. And Laurie Metcalf opens here in just another week, you know.
Oh, yeah? What is she doing?
It's called Little Bear. Oh, don't ask me for the name of the play. Something about Little Bear or whatever. It was a show written for her, directed by Joe Mantello. And it opens here on the 13th. And I will give her your regards.
Give her my regards. And maybe I'll be able to see it when I come to town. How long is it running for?
You don't need me, but let me know because I'll certainly get you some tickets.
I would love to go.
Hey, let's talk about your visit to Chicago. Because if we don't do that, people are going to be mad. So you are coming here on July 19th at 20th. 8 p.m. and the 21st Sunday at 5 p.m. We've already made the point. You sing. You're funny. What are we going to get in? And I should say, this is called the Big Gay Cabaret Series. It's presented by mutual friend Ginger Minge. And she's been doing some great stuff. Alexandra Billings is coming here with Honey West. Jay Rodriguez was just here and I spoke with Jay. What do we get in your show? Because I wouldn't even know how to define it.
Same thing that everybody's been getting from my show since I started doing stand-up in, 1982. When I first started, my comedy is very fast and very loud and very vulgar. And I have calmed down as I've gotten older. But back then, when I was 20, it was really fast, really in your face, really vulgar, really loud. I was constantly pacing on stage, running into the audience. Like, nobody ever knew what to expect from me. They all loved it and they all screamed with laughter. But after about 10 minutes of it, they'd be like, Mommy, make it stop, you know? So it was too much. People would literally, I could see it. I could see the energy leave the audience because they'd been laughing so hard for so long. So my father was a jazz pianist and I used to sing with him in the nightclubs of East St. Louis and St. Louis. And he taught me how to read music and he taught me how to sing. So I thought, well, why don't I just sing a song you know, lull them into this false sense of security and then start screaming dyke and them again. So that's kind of basically what I've been doing since 1982. The difference is once I got my first Broadway show, so that was 97, it was always about 60% comedy, 70% comedy, 40% music, 30% music. Now it's kind of very evenly matched, if not a little bit more music than comedy. But, you know, I've got 6 records out on the Warner Jazz label. So there are people like you that want to come hear me sing. And especially the gay men of a certain age, they all want to hear me sing.
What's that age?
Yeah, you know that age. You're in it, Paul Lipstick. You're in that age. So, so that's what you're going to hear. I've gotten a local pianist that was given to me by my friend Marco Panacea, who's my bass player. And so I'm going to be using her as my local pianist. Well, we're going to have some rehearsals.
You mean Chicago bass pianist?
Yes. And, you know, I'm going to kill my people because it should be in my calendar. Her name should be in my calendar. And it's not. I don't know what her name is.
If I said it, would you know it?
You know what I mean?
So I can
give a shout out and go, come see your girl. But I don't know her name, so there's no. I can't give the shout out, I'm sorry to say.
Okay. And if I said it, you wouldn't know if I was right, because I think I know who it might be.
Tell me who it might be.
I think it might be Becky Menzie, because she's everybody's pianist here. There are others, but Becky is so well-known in cabaret and all that kind of thing here.
Yeah, she's a jazz pianist. It's going to be a jazz pianist, not a cabaret pianist. So okay. I don't know if Becky is the one.
Okay, sorry. We'll find out.
Yeah, Marco would have given me a jazz pianist, not a cabaret pianist.
Okay.
So well, there Becky is a difference. I'm not
sure. Absolutely.
No,
Becky can,
Becky I'm can no play anything. Judgment call here. It's just that I do jazz. Yeah.
No, right. And Becky can play anything. That's why I say that. But
so maybe it is her. You know, I don't know.
We will find
a lot of pickup musicians. I occasionally use pickup musicians. Right now I'm working on a new show, so I am using a lot of pickup musicians. So everybody's name isn't sticking in my head.
Gotcha.
And I also smoke a lot of pot.
So is this a show, as you said, you've changed over the decades, to be honest, I was going to say years, but it's decades. So as it's changed now, and now you're saying it's more music, because I see you, you know, when I watch videos, for example, of you performing the jazz music and all that, which of course, you know, I passionately love that you do. When I watch that, it is a different Leah to me than when you're being you now and all that. So do these different Leahs present themselves on stage? Is that a tricky question?
Yeah, I generally try to do everything that I do when I'm on stage. So sometimes I'm very politically funny, and sometimes I'm just stupid funny, and sometimes I'm really smart, and sometimes I'm just silly, and whatever's striking me at the moment. I don't really write material. I just talk. So whatever strikes me at the moment comes out of my mouth. That's why a lot of people will come to see my shows again and again, because it's never quite the same show ever.
Should we warn the audience? How much will the fourth wall get broken?
Oh God, this is cabaret, so a lot. I'll be making fun of everybody and talking to everybody. Yeah, it's a small space, so yeah.
I'm assuming you haven't seen the Venus Cabaret space yet.
No, I haven't, but I do know that it's a small space.
Well, it is, but you know what they've done? Lady Day has been done. I mean, they've done some dramatic shows. The Lenny Bruce show. I'm not Lenny Bruce. I'm a comedian. So it's all been done because there's a really special relationship, I think, when Walter and Eugene, who own that space, built it. I think you will love the space. I mean, the problem is I'm going to tell people where to get tickets. The problem is, I don't know hopefully you're not sold out already, because I want people to be able to get tickets, but, you will have a great interaction.
My guess is I'm doing publicity, so probably not sold out, but you never know.
Oh no, we set this up long before. No. This interview was set up before you were born.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And by the way, when you're there next door, it is attached to a place called the Mercury Theater, where the Jersey Boys is playing in its first permitted regional production. So you won't have time, but, you know, maybe in between sets, you'd run over there and watch the Jersey Boys.
And watch the Jersey Boys. Wait, in between sets? How many sets do I have?
Well, that's true. There's only going to be one.
What a night.
Well, maybe I'll tell them to start it late. I love it. So how much, you know, and by the way, your movies, I mean, you animated films, you're just all over the place. It's just, I feel as though you,
this is a movie I just shot right here, Toe. This was our little hat with stars Rose Byrne and Octavia Spencer and Ariana DeBois and Amy Lovato and me, and it'll be out next year. So I'm currently making a lot of movies.
How often do you want to do these roles and not be Lea Delaria? You know what I mean? Is it like, I mean, do you want to get lost in the role that you're in, or do you recognize people will always, kind of look at you and it's you and we love you?
Yeah, no, I like to act, and I like the roles specifically when I act. There's a movie that I made recently called Potato Dreams of America that won a lot of awards and even got me a couple of awards at some different festivals. And it was at the Provincetown Film Festival, and John Waters was there, and John and I know each other because we're in Provincetown, and we had just done this photo shoot for a magazine, and then the pandemic, like the cover of this magazine, the Provincetown Arts Guide, and then the pandemic happened, so the town kind of closed down, and then this movie came out, and we were all still wearing masks. You still had to wear masks, so we're in the theater, we're wearing masks, and John walked in, so I walked up and just started talking to John. I was sitting right behind him, so we're talking. How are you? Is everything okay? That this is crazy. It's cuckoo. I'm glad you're here. Blah 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 blah. I didn't mention that I was in the movie that he was coming to see. I just was talking to him because we're friends. And I was sitting behind him, so the movie played, and John didn't get up and leave, and he will. That's,
That's a
which
good
means,
sign.
oh, he liked the movie. He stayed for all the credits. And I went, wow, he really liked the movie. And then we have a talk back, with the audience, and he stayed for the talk back. I was like, I can't. I was so shocked. I'd never seen him do that. And I've been in a lot of these different things with him. And they said, okay, we're going to open this up for questions from the audience. And John didn't even wait to be called. He just stood up. And he goes, this is for you, Leah. I spent that movie, the whole movie going, who is that actress? She looks so familiar.
Oh my
And it
God.
wasn't until the credit rolls that I realized it was you. And I was just talking to you before the movie. So, yeah, that was a compliment that I will wear to my grave.
That's the
And
best
I
compliment
do.
you could get. He's a friend and he doesn't even know it's you.
Didn't even realize it was me. And there was no accent. I was playing the Russian grandmother, but, and there was no accent. The director did a fabulous device where when we were in Russia, which is where the play started, nobody had an accent. But when they from Russia moved to Seattle, they had a really thick accent. So make it even
Wow.
more fish out of water, if you know what I mean. So yeah, lovely little independent film, Potato Dreams of America. Everyone should see it.
Yeah, I'd love to. And I grew up with Russian grandmothers, so I'll recognize the absence of the
Yeah.
accent, at least initially.
But all the doom and gloom is there. She is a doom and gloomer, 100% Russian doom and gloom.
I love it. Can I bring, by the way, I want to just check something on you. My understanding is you grew up, yeah, that is, you went to school in Catholic school. That's part of your
Yes, I
upbringing,
did.
right? What did it do to
Yes.
you?
Well, it made me a lesbian. I talk about that. I talk about that quite a bit on stage. You probably get some of that in Chicago. That's some of the material I'm working on because I'm trying to do an Easter special. So some of the stuff that I'm working on is trying to get this show together to have an Easter special. Everybody does a Christmas special. I'm going to do an Easter special.
A
So
television? What do you mean? A special where? TV?
yeah, I'm trying to get a special made to have on HBO, an Easter
Oh, okay.
special. So yeah, or Netflix or whoever wants to get it. I did my first performance of it this last Easter, and it went over incredibly well. It's currently the title is I Can See Your House from Here, but which is a really old joke about Jesus on the cross.
Oh.
So you don't know the joke. It's a
I'm
long
Jewish.
joke. It's a really long joke, but that's the punchline. So currently that's the title. I'm not sure what's going to stay that. And a very Leah Easter is the sum. But I'll probably be talking about Catholic school a little bit.
Gotcha. Yeah, we didn't have that joke in Hebrew school, unfortunately. I
Yeah, I'll bet you didn't.
no way.
No, it's just basically about Jesus yelling to John at the bottom of the cross, John, I want to talk to you, John. Jesus is up on the cross. So John keeps trying to get to Jesus at the top of the hill. And every time, I'm giving you the Reader's Digest version, every time he comes up, a Roman soldier, catches him and like cuts off an arm, cuts off his leg, like does everything to stop him from getting to Jesus. And then finally he gets to Jesus and he's basically a torso. And he throws himself against the cross and he goes, Lord, I'm here. What is it? And Jesus says, John, I can see your house from here. That's the joke.
Okay. There is one Lord related joke that crosses our religions, and I can only tell you the punchline, which it ends with Lord and Taylor.
Oh my God. I love it.
I'll give it to you later. You can add it into the special.
Love it.
Because I'm all about your jazz and your music, can I take you to On the Town and the Leading Ladies
Sure.
at Carnegie Hall? Because once again, I just like I talk to you here and then these things come into my head that you're appearing in On the Town, the Broadway Leading Ladies at Carnegie Hall, and I've seen
That
Clyde
was
wasn't there,
crazy.
but I've seen clips of it. Again, it's like watching this other performer, and it's but it's fabulous.
Yeah, well, again, it's stuff I can do. That's probably the thing that makes me the happiest more than anything is being downstage center belting a D sharp. The audience just goes nuts. And I'm really good with a long tone and a high long belt and just spreading my chest and throwing it out there. And it's very old showbizzy, my voice. I'm not one of the modern Broadway people. And I'm not riffing pentatonic scales for
Well,
no
no, you're
apparent
the old school.
reason.
It's like Michael
I'm,
Feinstein probably loves what you do.
oh, he adores me. In fact, I'm going to just say this out to Chicago because people in Chicago come to New York all the time for a vacation. I just started a residency at 54 Below, which is Michael's club. I'm doing the second Sunday of every month. It's a brunch show. It's called Brunch is Gay. And every show is a different show. Every show has a different guest, and every show has a different theme. And since you're a jazz guy, my next one is July 14th, and Janice Siegel of the Manhattan Transfer is my guest.
Oh, how fabulous.
And then Gabe Ebert in August, the guy who won the Tony for Matilda, is a great musical theater guy, and we're good friends. He's very, very funny. I've got Jackie Hoffman doing the Halloween show with me. So it's really fun. So anybody in Chicago, come see me at the Big Gay Cabaret. If you miss me when you come to New York, come on the second Sunday and see my brunch show.
I love it. And I interviewed Michael just not too long ago about a record project he was doing. But I'll send you that link if you want it. But it's
Oh, cool.
interesting
I'd
stuff.
love that. Well,
I do have to.
we were both on the Gay Scare show too that they did on where we talked about why queers are so into horror and what, we were, he was there talking about musical horror. I was there talking about Alfred Hitchcock.
Does he still drink? I was on a cruise with him and he had this trunk full of tiger milk. I thought I it's like what, Michael?
Yeah, you should see what I have in my trunk.
Is it a body? I don't know. It could be
It
anything.
was hilarious. Hilarious. No, I had no clue what the tiger milk is about, but that is
Okay.
funny.
But it was great. Anyway, let's go to you because you're coming to Chicago. You're going to be at Venus Cabaret on July 19th and 20th and the 21st, that whole weekend. You don't get much time. I know when Jay Rodriguez was here, he tried to get a little time. I hope you've been to the city. So are there things that you want to do while you're here? A boat ride?
I'm so going to be so concentrated on that show. It's July in Chicago, so I'm not leaving my air-conditioned
Oh,
room.
that's a good
I can tell
point.
you that. I do like to go out on the pier now and then. I always enjoy that. I always enjoy that.
Well,
And
and if you,
I love a good barbecue, so.
oh, okay. Well, they ought to be able to. And by the way, I don't know where you're staying, but if you're staying where Jay did, you're not that far from me. And I'll give you some great breakfast places that you might
No,
want to
I
have
think
a trip.
I'm in an Airbnb. I'm not sure where it is, but
Oh,
it is
okay.
supposed to be walking distance to where I'm going. And is the Green Mill still open late?
Absolutely.
See, I'll
Oh,
probably
yes.
end up
Oh,
there
you ought to.
almost every night after my show
You need to be
because
one of
that's,
those. Look who's in the audience. Let's bring her up if they'll do that. I don't,
they usually do that, but we'll see.
Yeah, there's
And
been
I
some
may not
great.
want to. I may want to go. I'm here to hear you.
Yeah, there was used to be a place here called George's.
Yeah, I remember George's.
Oh, I saw Sarah Vaughan there and Phyllis Hyman, and it was so great. At one time, I'm sure you're a Phyllis Hyman fan. I thought she was amazing.
Of course.
So I'm right up along the stage, and it was primarily a minority-filled audience and whatever. And at one point, she was complaining how hot it was, and people were laughing, and I laughed. And she looked at me and she said, "Honey, you don't understand." I said,
True that.
"Okay." I'm sorry, it's still funny.
Yeah, it's still funny.
Anyway, she was,
but yeah, trust, you don't understand.
She was great. So will you be doing things in your Chicago show, July 19, 2021? Will there be Chicago specific? You said you don't script yourself. So will you walk on and just go, here I am? Or is there has to be
I'll just walk on and start talking and saying welcome to everyone. And, you know, it's just kind of the way that is. Yeah, I tend to, if something happened to me that day, I'll talk about it on stage. Always. If something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If, you know, whatever that might be, I will bring it in. I won't speak. I mean, I don't have any plans to specifically speak about Chicago, but that doesn't mean it won't happen. You know what I mean?
And I'm assuming we get some reminiscences, right? I mean, again, everybody knows you for Orange is the New Black. Do we get some stories? You know, kind of.
It just, again, all of this depends on my mood.
What if you're angry that night? Oh, my God.
There was a time there where when I would go on stage and say, I will allow you one question about Orange is the New Black. Because it changed the face of television. Nobody knew what was going to happen. It just changed the way everybody watches television. And it's still watched by over 200 million people in 190 countries. So I really can't go anywhere without somebody wanting to get a picture with me, without somebody wanting to talk to me about the show, you know, that kind of thing. So I went to Stonewall yesterday.
Oh.
Because I was out doing some things. I went, oh, I'm going to go into Stonewall and have a drink because, yeah, I'm in the hood. And this queen was sitting next to me, and he didn't know who I was, which is great. I'm not that person, right? But He said the U-Haul joke to me, which most people know that I wrote. And and he said it to me and I just looked at him and I went, you know, I wrote that, right? And he said, no, you didn't. I said, oh, yes, I did. And he goes, who are you? And I said, Leah Delaria. And he goes, well, who's that? And the bartender just burst out laughing and went, what kind of gay man are you that you don't know who Leah Delaria is? Like, really let him have. He goes, well, you know, I'm a New Yorker, blah, 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 blah. And he said, she's been in New York since the late 1980s. What are you talking about? So the bartender's queen is just, you know, on my side. I'm like, let him go. It's all fine. And then
he's a youngster, right?
No, he was a gay man of a certain age. Like, he didn't even know what Edge of 17 was. So I'm not sure, you know, which is why gay men of a certain age do love me, Edge of 17. And I know what it is. It's a movie. But this young woman came up and she was like standing next to me and she was trying not to, you know what I mean?
Right.
I could tell she was freaking out.
Wants to pretend she doesn't know you and not bother you.
He goes, she doesn't know. She doesn't know who you are. And the bartender went, it was weird. He got to a weird place with it. And the bartender went, yes, she does. And right at that moment, she came over and was like, can I please have my picture? So all these people started getting their picture taken with me and he kind of left. And I was like really enjoying his company. His name was Corey. We were having a really nice time.
He was mortified.
But I think he got a little mortified that everybody knew who I was and he didn't.
You know, you have those moments. Years ago, I was on an elevator with George Carlin, and I'm younger than I was now and not doing what I do now, whatever. And I'm with somebody, I'm looking, and I'm kind of buzzing. And he looks at me and goes, yeah, it's me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love this. This story's in my book. I love this story. Back when we had video bars, gay bars.
Yeah. We still do. They're still
Yes, we do. But back when they were just prevalent, they were just everywhere.
Oh, okay.
It was when we were rehearsing on the town in the park. So it was our first week of tech, which is just a horrifying time to be in Central Park at noon doing tech when it's 110 degrees outside on a stage that has no, there's, you know, it was an open stage for on the town. So we got done with our tech and Waterworks was right across the street. So we're like, let's all go to Waterworks because it was like, they have this ridiculous dollar beer Sunday thing or just this crazy shit. And it was a dance club and everybody loved it. So we all go there. So at that point in my life, pretty much if I was in a bar like that, with the shank of the evening, everybody's dancing. And then suddenly the music goes off and out on the monitor comes me on that Arsenio Hall appearance, you know, the one where I was the first openly gay comic on, right, you know, television in America. So I hear the music stop and I look up And out I come. And I just kind of went, ugh, like that. And the next to me went, oh, I know, I hate that woman. It was so great. So I started laughing. So then everybody from the show starts, like, from On the Town, like, by the way, Jesse Tyler Ferguson was my boyfriend in On the Town. I don't know if people remember that, but yeah. So Jesse came over and went, oh my God, that's you from Arsenio. And then they all kept coming over. The guy looked at me and he was like, that's you, isn't it? And I said, I'm afraid it is, sir. And he just left. He was so mortified.
But you got such a great sense of humor. I don't think you get, do you ever get offended by anything? I don't think you do.
Oh, it takes a lot to offend me. I mean, I don't really get offended. I get filled with rage. I get pissed off, and not even just pissed off, rage. So do I get offended when people, you know, when people say that our system of justice doesn't work, when people, you know, attack the White House and then act like attack the Capitol building and then act like it didn't happen and then deny elections and, you know, deny that they said something when they're on tape saying it. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff that offends me. And that stuff, like I said, it doesn't really offend, isn't it? That's what most lesbians and I have a problem. Because lesbians get offended, I get furious.
I thought you were going to say you get even, but...
No. Well, I am Sicilian. We do that. But as you know, this great Sicilian saying, revenge is a dish best served cold.
Yes. With a fish head somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. Or a horse head.
Right. I love that you spent this time with me, and let me, in our moments left before we get cut off, which we will, let people know that you are starring in the Big Gay Cabaret series. It's presented by Ginger Minj. You will be in Chicago July 19 and 20 at 8 o'clock, Sunday the 21st at 5 p.m. Tickets, they're not bad, $55 and $65. And for a few more dollars, you will stay after and take pictures and maybe insult some people afterwards.
Of course.
Which is always worth it. Leah DeLary, you've made history for sure in your career and with your career. For me, it's just an honor to get to spend some time with you. I'll see you in Chicago, I hope. And
you better be at the show, Paul Lipstick.
I'm gonna be sitting on stage with you. I'll introduce you.
I love it.
Thank you. Bless you.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for
we'll
everything,
see you soon.
My dear.
Stay cool if you can.
Oh yeah, it's 100 degrees today. Trust. I'm in the aircon.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.